And now, entering the ring, Jason Hughes, Dustin Dougie Campbell, and Jason Papaw White, the Triple Threat, here on the Strong Booking Podcast.
All right, guys, we're back again for another episode of Strong Booking Podcast. Just give me a second here to get everything set up, and we will get started. Also, like, give people time to like start following us before I just jump into things.
Yeah, yeah. Jump on in. Water's fine.
Did you guys have a good week? I had a good week.
Yeah, it's pretty busy. You seen me all week, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's not, like we don't see each other every day.
No. It's a 7/24 type thing, ain't it?
Have you shared it, Jason?
Yeah, I got it going.
Is it going? It's gone.
It's going. We are
on. Are we live?
All right. First of all, I just want to go ahead and thank our sponsors. First of all, I want to thank McGuire's Insurance Agency. If you need any quotes on insurance or just insurance for anything, just give them a call at 606-886-0008. Also, another one of our sponsors, Blue Ridge Carpentry, owned and operated by Sean Newsom. If you guys need any kind of carpentry work, just give this guy a call. He gives free estimates, so call him at 606-230-9566. And I'm going to give it over to Jason, see if he's got anything to say right off the bat. I know we got some t-shirts hanging, so you want to talk about those?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. I mean, we're taking this week by week, and hopefully we're putting on a good product that everybody likes. We do have t-shirts for sale. We got them hanging on the front of our table tonight. They're $15. And, you know, all those proceeds go back to building this podcast, you know, getting lights and, you know, paying the, you know, get the microphones, and, you know, producer Kevin, you know, he supplies us with everything we need to do this, and then we try to help him out best we can. We're just hoping that we continue to grow and get these t-shirts moving. We've also got, you know, window stickers. You know, they're not all for just windows. You can stick them about anything.
Well, yeah, you
want
can see is on our,
but we've got them on the front of here.
Yep, on our board we got here.
But I like to just thank our two sponsors we got right now, and, you know, let's get this show going.
Yep. Also, I just wanted to say there is still room for sponsorships. You know, we'll take any kind of sponsorship you want to give. But we do have a package that we set up for 1 month, 3 months, and 6 months. If you want to see one of those flyers, just message me, Jason, or the other Jason, and, right, you know, we'll send you one right over, and we can maybe set something up with you. But I'm going to go ahead and get the show started here. And
need to thank Rick, too.
We always thank Rick.
Thank Rick Hughes, Pig and a Poke.
Okay, we'll thank Rick Hughes real quick and Pig and a Poke.
Thank you,
also,
Rick.
Also, High Tech Signs and Graphics, where we got these shirts. So
yeah, come get you some ribs at the Pig and a Poke.
Yep. So we got him included there. We're going to start the show with NXT TakeOver. That was a big pay-per-view last Sunday after the show. I went home and watched it. I enjoyed it. It was a good pay-per-view. Yeah. You guys got any words on it?
I mean, I just like the simple fact they let it happen on a Sunday. Usually takeovers, you know, they happen on Saturday, but, you know, they gave them that primetime slot on Sunday night, and it didn't let down. I mean, from top to bottom, every match I thought was well worth the watch. If you haven't seen it, like I said, I think I posted it the other day on our page. If you haven't watched it, you need to go back and watch it, because every match, you know, they put on a show for sure.
Back to the Johnny Gargano and Tomasha Ciampa feud again.
But I'm like you, though.
Yeah, but now they're playing it a little different, where they turn him. Or,
it's a reverse.
Or it's a reverse.
It's a reverse. I like it.
So.
And you got Charlotte Flair.
It's not. Yeah, and then you got Charlotte came in and interrupted
with those
Rhea
giant
Ripley.
Yeah, she had them giant high heels on, and she still looked awesome.
I know. You
great.
You told me you loved it.
I did. It was,
you know,
it was good for them, for Charlotte to come down there and give a rub to NXT like that. It was, she could have challenged for any one of those titles, but she chose that one. It just gave it a more prestige feel, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, that's where she sowed her roots, and I think, you know, in my opinion, and I know you two guys probably agree with me on this, is, NXT is the best product WWE has going on right now. And then someone like Charlotte coming there. But first, it was Finn Balor coming back.
Yeah.
That really set it off. And now that Charlotte's back, you've got two main roster that have proven themselves on Raw and SmackDown.
Former world champions.
Yeah, on and both. Now they're on NXT. And then just the dynamic of it, like, it's just – it's something worth watching right now, and the persona that Finn, I guess we can start out with that. Finn now, since he's came back, the change up. He's the prince of NXT, playing that, you know, that heel, and he's playing it good.
You was telling me the other day you went back to the gun points again.
Yeah, he's doing the gun points. Yep. He's not really doing the stuff he was doing before.
Yeah,
the
theatricals.
You know what I think is cool, too, when he used to do the thing when his during his music. Yep. And I didn't notice it until the pay-per-view, but he's not doing that anymore.
Yeah,
he just stands there.
That's what I was telling Jason the other day. He done it a little bit right after the match was over when he was going out. He kind of done it, but other than that, it was just down to business. You know, put a beating on him, really.
Yeah, well, it was a good match, but the biggest match for me was Keith Lee versus Dominic. I think it's his name, Dominic. I can't say his last name. I'm not going to try.
Yeah, I mean, that one I enjoyed. It was up there. It was in my top three. I mean, of all the matches, but my favorite one, I think I posted earlier this week on there, let everybody kind of chime in on which match they thought kind of stole the show. I love the tag match. The Roserweights versus the Undisputed Era. I mean, for a team to get thrown together, which we're seeing that a lot across the board in all promotions right now, tag teams getting thrown together, and now they're all champions.
Yeah.
But –
you know, it is a strange team to put together. If you look back a year ago,
who would have ever thought?
Yeah, it's just,
Talking about the Broserweights.
Yeah, I mean,
they're over.
But together, I mean, they just the moves they've been able to put together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
Well, Matt Riddle, man, he can wrestle.
Yeah.
He can wrestle.
Yeah.
And I know he's got a lot of heat in the back right now, even like with Brock Lesnar, Goldberg. Apparently, I don't know. How big of a heat with Randy Orton, but Randy Orton made a tweet on him this week, and they kind of had some words. And now I've seen where they're like, he got suspended for the wellness policy for 30 days. Matt Riddle.
Yeah. I think he's just in timeout. Vince got a little mad because he was chiming in on one of the –
because there was also another little thing on there where they said they got that little Broserweight mobile that they ride in. They said he got it impounded and stuff. So I think it's just kind of – I don't even know if it's a – it may just be a storyline.
Is it a work?
It may just be a work.
Wow.
From what I'm seeing.
I mean, Matt Riddle calls a lot of people out, and, I mean, I'm sure Vince don't like that. I mean, you wouldn't want Randy Orton exposed by Matt Riddle. To be honest with you, you know, the only people – he might have a problem with Brock. I don't know if he could. Riddle's a monster. I mean, a straight-up fight, I say Riddle would probably handle about any of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like I seen the video of him and Goldberg. They had a little scuffle in the back. It wasn't really a scuffle. It was more or less they just, talked to each other. But it was kind of – it got a little heated for a second, so.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Yeah. But I thought, NXT is the – it's the number one show right now for WWE. Mm-hmm. SmackDown, they're doing some good things on there.
But they're all improving.
They're all improving. I don't know. Raw is not improving at all to me.
Yeah.
Maybe they're slow burning it with all these Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. Well, you got the Randy Orton. I kind of like that. But what else have you got there?
I like Matt Riddle. I mean, I like him calling out guys and stuff. But, it's – sometimes I get, Vince doesn't really like that, I guess, but in general, it's, I think it brings an audience in. Everybody's tuning in each week to see what, who he might call in next.
Yeah, and like you said earlier about Charlotte going down, I mean, she didn't have to do that.
No.
And that just shows, maybe that shows that she even knows that NXT is the hot place, right now. Well, she wanted to be part of that, so.
It gives that title a rub, and it gives Rhea Ripley, it brings her up a level, and they need that. They need to create as many stars as they can.
Mike, you're right. Since Heyman did take over Raw, the underdog talent is starting to kind of rise a little more with, your Ricochet And then Buddy Murphy.
I like Murphy.
Yeah, I really like Murphy. I don't like that he's with the Rollins right now, but.
Yeah, I'm not a really huge Rollins fan to begin with.
I don't think anybody is right now.
What do you think about Raw right now?
Raw, it's on the upswing. I know it. With Heyman there, it's a lot better, and it should continue to grow. I wish, at the time, I thought SmackDown was going to be better, but it's when it originally the brands, you know, when these new general or the ones that run the show were brought up. At the time, I guess Bischoff was supposed to be running SmackDown.
Yeah,
and then you had Heyman on Raw, but I'm assuming Bischoff's no longer with WWE, so I actually don't know who's doing SmackDown's booking right now.
I don't either.
Raw would be good, I think, more if it was just 2 hours. I'm with you. You know, we talked about it last week. The 3-hour shows, you're just running into.
It's a marathon.
Yeah, it's just.
It's overkill.
They start out with something really good, and then as the show progresses, you kind of lose interest, and you'll change the channel, and then something might major happen at the end, but you'll miss it because you got bored out in the middle.
Yeah, so you know, I talked about that. Couple weeks ago when Edge was going to be on there, I actually got home and started watching it at 8 o'clock. And by the time 9:30 rolled around, I was just wore out with it.
Once you get into wrestling, it's an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah,
it's ups and downs, and you can't maintain that up for 3 hours, I don't think.
Well, the thing is even with Raw, they don't really hold your emotions that much. It just bores me to death really for an hour and a half. Well, the first hour was good, and then about 45 minutes into after 9 o'clock, it started getting real bad.
You can see it coming before it gets there. You can see it down a red light before it gets to you. It's kind of predictable, some of it.
Yeah, you're kind of right there, Mikey. Vince could be trying to, you know, follow AEW with the Inner Circle and with the Rollins storyline. But I don't really see it. But I don't know.
I don't see Vince following anybody. I think Vince has got too much, you know, ego and pride to follow somebody.
He's going to do his own thing.
Yeah.
Jason Adams, you're right. Wrestling is a soap opera for men. I mean, that's just.
It's got everything you want. It's got drama, excitement.
It's sports entertainment.
He also, Jason asked, he had a question here. He asked who we think a good feud with Aleister Black would be.
Anybody.
That's what I was going to say. Anybody, really.
Yeah, I mean,
any top guy, for sure. Yeah. It don't matter who it was. I'd love to see him and Brock go, but, you know.
I know we got bored out on it, but those first couple matches between him and Buddy Murphy, they were great.
Oh, yeah, they were good
matches. They were great.
It was just
then after about 6 or 7 of them, you were kind of like, it's kind of got
Well, there was just no good storyline to them, so that's why it kind of was bland. But the matches were good. And they also asked when on Andrade is going to be back, and I'd say beginning of March.
Yeah, he should be getting ready to. He should be coming back.
At least in the next 2 weeks, for
sure. Kind of makes me think he got put in the doghouse, too, for something, because usually if you get suspended like that, they're going to strip the belt off of you, and they let him keep this U.S. belt, you know, through all this suspension.
Well, they're going to play an angle with it. Like, I guess Vega's going to maybe turn on him and be with one of those other guys. I can't remember their names.
And I would assume that sometimes they just get pinched. I mean, there's legit. Sometimes people fail stuff, and they have to.
Yep.
You know, they gotta, you know, make a showing, if you will.
All right, we're gonna get off the WWE subject.
Finally,
there ain't much to talk about there.
Mercy.
And I want to talk a little bit about MLW real quick.
Rough.
It was a decent show this week. Like Jason was saying earlier, I missed it. He barely seen it, but. King Mo was supposed to be on there, and I must have just
blink of an eye.
Missed it because I did not see it. And he did.
What is that?
That is Daryl.
Yeah, I didn't get to tune in this week, so you guys saw MLW. I didn't. So
yeah, he won by submission. I'm not even for sure what submission. Like I said, I walked through my house. It was on TV. It happened. Was over before I could walk back. I said, well. You know, it wasn't no Iron Man match. It was quick.
No. Like I said, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Which I did watch the first match, and it was a pretty good match. I didn't really know the guys, but it was a good match. And then the only thing I really wanted to tune in for was the Tom Lawler versus the Von Erich. And That was a really good match. It got, you know, busted up at the end.
Yeah.
Everybody came in, but it was a good match. I was kind of surprised with Tom Lawyer, to be honest. He's a pretty good wrestler.
Yeah.
He's not bad.
They were in Texas, too. And,
yeah.
You know, the crowd was behind the Von Erichs. I like that. It was,
I love Von Erichs,
man. It was an old-school wrestling feel to it.
They're on their way to the top.
Yeah. I don't know where they were at, but that was such a small venue. Did you notice that?
Yeah. They're always a pretty...
There might have been, what, maybe 15 rows of seats at the most, 20?
Yeah. It seems, for the most part,
I would like to
they're always in a small venue. Like, you can about see all the crowd that's there.
It was nice. I enjoyed it.
Daryl was down there singing.
Yeah, he's singing away down there. There's a guy working down here tonight.
He was throwing me off a little.
It was throwing me off too, but now I realize it was.
For somebody to walk through the door.
No, it's Daryl doing some work for us. It just cracked me up because I finally realized it.
Yeah. You reckon he knows we're up here?
Yeah.
He saw us come up here.
He probably has no idea what we're doing.
Might give him a piece of cheesecake. He might calm down.
You got any blueberries?
Yeah, a piece of cheesecake.
He likes that blueberry cheesecake. Anyways, let's
who don't?
Let's go talk about some AEW here, because that was just, to be honest, like, as good as NXT TakeOver was, even Dynamite was maybe a little better, and it was just their weekly show.
Free.
Yeah.
And on it was TNT.
What, Dynamite?
Free. On TNT.
We're just saying it was better than TakeOver.
I'm a big AEW guy, and
the moonsault, bro.
You know, Dynamite was right up there with NXT. I was really into TakeOver, but, you know, having that ladder match, or not ladder match, the cage match, you know, 20-foot made it different and everything, but it was, you know, Cody doing that moonsault off the top, that stole the show for me. But the tag battle royal at the beginning, you know, it put on a good show. Orange Cassidy sliding out from under the ring, you know, saved Trent, and then packed him back over, and then he was getting ready to do it again, and then here come the bunny, started rubbing on him, and he just takes his hands up and slides them back in his pocket, and then she kicks him. You know, it was, you know, it kind of stole the show. That segment right there did. You know, he laid there forever acting in agony. I've seen all kinds of memes and stuff on Facebook about it. But other than that, you know, Lucha Brothers and Hangman and Omega, they put on a good match too for the belts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love – right now I'm a huge Hangman Page fan. I love the trolling they are doing on him. Hangman's, I mean, it's just –
what do you think about the Bucks winning that?
It's setting up the heel turn. It's setting it up. It might not happen. There's going to be something take place at Revolution.
Yeah.
It's like Omega's going to kind of be like, don't do that to him or something. I think he's going to try to do something, Omega stop him or something of that nature.
You think it'll be that predictable?
No.
Because in my mind, I think that, but I think they'll do something.
Can't predict anything they do.
In my mind, also, what about a double heel turn?
Exactly.
What if Omega turns on the Bucks?
Yes.
I mean, you know, that's something.
Exactly what I was going to say.
That's something that can happen as well.
Oh, you know what?
The double swerve, bro.
Yeah.
He needs to.
And then what if you've done the, you know, you do a double, you do a double, and then eventually down the road, what if Hangman turns back and let Omega be the heel? Like, everybody was thinking Hangman was going to do it for a long time, but let Omega be the one.
I would like Omega.
What if the Bucks turn?
That, you know.
There's so many things could happen.
I would like for Omega to go back to that.
And it's so,
the actual, like.
The sweeper. The cleaner.
The cleaner, man.
The sweeper.
Yeah.
The sweeper.
I knew where you were going with that.
Yeah, I was thinking of the broom.
Just the Terminator look. I'd love for him to go back to that.
Yeah.
That was his best look. So much. Gary Dameron said he needs a shirt. Gary, we got a shirt for you.
You send me a size and everything you need, and address. We need to ship it to you. We're hoping to get to come over and check out one of your shows.
Yes.
Soon. I'll see that.
We're trying to get all that worked out to be able to come over. But, yeah, we can definitely hook you up with a T-shirt.
Yeah, he's putting on some good cards over there.
Amazing. There's stuff popping up. Yeah. I think getting off subject, Crime Time's going to be there at his Hall of Fame show. Stan Hansen's going in.
I've told you about the Stan Hansen and Vader matches in Japan where he gets his eye knocked. Oh, man.
Sean's got a question for us, and he was asking, or he said, what do we think about Bully Ray saying the backflip was selfish?
It's the first I heard about it.
Yeah, it's the first I've heard about it, but I don't think it was selfish.
How was that?
I don't. Well, he's saying Bully Ray said it, but Bully Ray's always been a guy that kind of.
You talking about the moonsault?
I'm guessing, yeah, the moonsault. Yeah.
I was with Jason when he done it. I didn't see him doing that. I thought he might just turn around and do like a splash or
a double axe handle.
Yeah, or something. Something safe. But for him to get up there and just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just the logistics of it to land.
It sounds like Bully Ray's just crying about something he can't do.
I'm saying maybe he's jealous or something.
Yeah, jealousy, boys.
There's nothing selfish about it. It was just a spot in a match.
If Bully Ray thought that, that's Bully Ray. He's got problems, I think. That's not.
Yeah. Mikey, that would be a pretty cool little group there.
Why?
If Storm and Rude could ever get over to AEW, put Hangman with them, bring back beer money.
That would be like, cool. Three of them. Yeah. I could go for that.
Which
I know I'm all about beer money. That's
So you definitely go for that.
Yeah, I don't see why Rude would want to stay there in WWE. But I don't know.
Jason Adams said the cage match Cody was in was good. You know, that was just an awesome match.
And he bled.
Well, we talked about that.
That's all you've talked about is that somebody finally bled in the cage match. So.
Well, yeah.
And if
you
put
people in a cage like that,
somebody's got to bleed.
Somebody's got to bleed. It's not realistic if they don't.
But I like the whole setup of it. Like, had a little room in between the ropes and the cage. Mm-hmm. They were able to do some stuff there.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that it was different, being 20 foot.
And the fact it was pinfall and submission only.
I was going to say, you were talking
there
about
was no escape.
The old school pinfall and submission only.
Yeah.
And I never really realized that because... You know, I didn't start watching cage matches probably until
That's old NWA
later.
Stuff. WWE always had you could escape the cage. And to me, that just seemed like
even myself growing up, you always think that seems a little.
Yeah, that's a weak finish, I think.
The other thing I took away from the cage match, totally different, they made Wardlow look mean. Like, dude was powerful. He did some stuff, Cody started right out and they got face to face. Cody hit him with, like, I think it was a forearm. He just kind of just shrugged it off like it was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And just his agility, too, though. Like, I thought he was going to be a power wrestler, which I've watched a lot of his matches, but I never seen him do the swanton. And, like, hit a move, and he just hopped up on there and done a big swanton right in the middle of the match. I mean, that was
good as a Jeff Hardy swanton.
Yeah, I mean, dude's got some athleticism. But, I mean, they kept his nostalgia up. He's still going to be a powerhouse. They didn't let... One way or the other, they weren't going to let him, like, get beat on by Cody. But even though Cody beat him, it doesn't take anything away from him. He's still...
Well, it took Cody doing an extremely crazy move to beat
him.
Everybody come out of that better.
That's so selfish.
Everybody come out better.
Going back to Bully Ray's comments, if he wanted to be selfish, he could have just squashed him. Or could have made him look weak the whole match. So.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why Bully Ray don't have his own company.
Yeah. That's probably one of the better.
Apparently, he don't know how to book a match. Yeah.
That's probably one of the best cage matches I've watched, to be honest. I've watched now.
Yeah. I would say in recent times, in modern
times. In modern times, in the past
that was good.
10 years. It was
everything
good.
Everything they do is good, I think.
I'll bring up something that we hadn't really talked about yet. Dark Order situation. Raven was sitting ringside during that, never budged or anything when they came out, just kind of. Which I kind of posted about it because I saw it at first. I was like, I thought that was Raven, so I had to go back and look at it.
Well, they came out and they said the Exalted One is close. He's watching. So I think they're still just swerving us with that.
What if it is Raven?
I'm fine.
I don't have a problem with that.
That'd be cool. So,
Raven guy. Back in ECW, Raven was good.
Yeah.
I mean, I like some people brought that up, Raven being the Exalted One, but bringing in Brody Lee. As somebody with him when he's coming in,
his right hand,
come in, keeps
I still think they're going to put Brody Lee and that guy from New Japan that Moxley wrestled together. I can't remember his name. Wrestled him at Wrestle Kingdom. The first night.
Who wrestled?
Which one?
Moxley wrestled that guy.
Lance Hoyt.
Lance Archer, I guess you could say.
Now he was Lance Hoyt and TNA.
Advanced Archer.
He's coming over, though.
Is it Vance Archer?
I don't know. What did you say?
Lance Archer.
It's Lance, yeah. Yeah, they're going to – I've just seen where they might bring him in and put him and Luke Harper together, or Brody Lee.
I could go for that.
Jason Adams says he thinks Raven will be revealed as a leader.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it could be, but it just seems so fishy that they would just, like – put just enough of a camera shot for us to see Raven.
When it comes like to AEW, you know, he disappeared right after that match, so he wasn't there, because I know later that night, that's where Jericho and the Inner Circle set.
It just makes me think they're trolling so much with it.
When it comes to AEW, I don't care what they do. I'm on board. I'm on the ride now. I'm with them.
Yeah, 100%.
Everything they do, whether I know I want it or not, I'm satisfied. That's all that matters.
They're the top company to me in America.
It's on prime time. That's on prime time TV.
Prime time TV.
I'm fine with top company, period.
Yeah, period. Really.
And another thing, I'm glad that Brandy is out of that, whatever that was.
I liked her being
with Cody as a valet. That's got that old school baby doll type feel to it. I like it.
And she went back to that this week. Like, there was no indication that she was in something else this week, the way she acted, talked, and everything. It was all...
She hit MJF with the chair, and MJF rires back, and JR, oh, would he hit her? Would he hit a woman? I mean, that made MJF look like even a,
bigger heel.
Yeah, all of that works out good. It's nice. Well,
since we're talking about AEW, what about their action figures that were, they debuted Series 1 on the show.
Yeah, I want an Omega.
But then, yesterday, I think they introduced Series 2, which you're going to get Rey Fénix and Pentagon and Hangman and MJF, I think, were the four that I saw. There might have been – Brandy, I think, was in that one, too, in that mix. But I think they look good. Moxley was in that one, too. And Dustin Rhodes, yep.
That's enough. Are we not good?
We got busted for talking about action figures.
Did we really?
No.
We're live. You just put the link on there. We got busted for talking about something.
We're good.
Okay.
All right. On the same feed?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're live.
All right. Sorry for that. Whatever just happened, guys. I'm not sure what happened, but we're back.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, it happens.
Live almost in prime time.
But I will go ahead and shout out our sponsors again, McGuire's Insurance Agency. Give them a call at 606-886-0008. Also, Blue Ridge Carpentry, owned and operated by Sean Newsom. He gets free estimates, so just give him a call at 606-230-9566. And, it's 30-minute mark, guys, and so we're getting ready to get into our pillar to post all-around the ring discussion.
So quick.
I know.
Where does it go?
We started talking about AEW. I swear, and it was like the 10-minute mark.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it was
if Raw and SmackDown minutes. Could be like that, I mean.
I know. I'll be honest. I have a hard time talking about it.
All right.
But anyways, here we are back with the Pillar to Post. So first thing I wanted to bring up, Jason actually brought this up earlier, and it was a good little thing to start out with. We want to know what everybody thinks about the Punjabi prison matches. Do you remember those?
Unfortunately, I do.
And can you name who was in them?
Can you name who? Well,
I'm guessing barely. A great Khali.
Was supposed to be in the original one, but he didn't.
Yep.
He had a Punjabi prison match without Khali?
He was supposed to be in it against The Undertaker, was the original one, and an injury caused him to be out, and the Big Show took his place against The Undertaker in the original one. And then I know in the second one, it was Khali versus Batista. And the third one was Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton was the third one. Jinder Mahal brought it back.
Such a racist match.
It had a good setup to it. I actually was kind of like the first one. I was kind of all for it at first. You saw the bamboo with the spikes at the end of it. Yeah. Like if somebody goes through that, they're going to have a death on live TV. But, it was just... Like, the Orton and Jinder Mahal one was the best one of them all, and it didn't even have the originator in it, which was the great Khali that brought it out. But, I watched them last night when I was on YouTube. It just popped up. I was watching some stuff. And
did you realize what you said?
What?
The best one of all had Jinder Mahal in it.
Hey, what? We were big Jinder Mahal fans.
I was big on him winning the belt.
He was an all right little wrestler there for a minute.
It made you tune in every week to see if he was going to lose it.
That's true.
It was all about the ratings.
He could speak on the mic, too. He start going into all that.
I guess. I mean, everybody's different.
I thought he was going to get up and leave just now.
I thought he was going to get up and just leave.
Everybody likes different things. Done. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. He was good for a minute, okay. Punjabi.
But that brings it up here that we just wanted to discuss some other just pretty much just dumb matches. or done concept matches.
I think you win with that Punjabi.
Well, you thing. Definitely win with the Punjabi match, but there has to be others out there.
Not that, like a Punjabi.
Not like a Punjabi, definitely.
Maybe you go back to Buff Bagwell's mom on a pole match.
Was that a real match?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they had all that's back in the heyday of WCW.
WCW. Hey, Nate Cross is I'm sorry, I called him Nate Cross. It's Evil Nate Hewitt. Nate. Evil Nate Hewitt. I still think of him as Nate Cross.
See,
sometimes,
Evil though. Nate talking to the Mothman. You
guys. Yes. God, man. Let's hey, just bring
hope,
him up
hey,
for a minute.
Evil Nate does good.
I love Nate. Yeah. Nate Hewitt.
Yeah, I like, hope he does
he's from
good.
This area, mm-hmm. and he just his promos are always on point.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't seen them, they're on our page. We shared them both. They're,
if
you know,
just want to go listen
I didn't
to
know who he was till you told me.
Oh, man, I've been watching his promos for like 5 years now.
Dude, hey, he's cutting.
But he's cutting good
top-notch
promos.
Top-notch promos.
You know.
Show me a better indie.
I've
than,
always
than
enjoyed him.
Great.
I like the first one, too. With he's just sitting there playing the guitar.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I'm real good. Well, I'm okay.
And then he starts Dark Suede should take note of that guy. That's
Dark
that's
Suede
how it's
should
done.
Definitely take note.
Brought him back this week. Yeah.
That's another thing. We got
Dark Suede rub.
BCW show coming up on March the 7th. So
no, it's not. That's ASW on March 7th. That's the Enforcer show.
My bad.
BCW, I believe, is on the 21st of March.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Go check them out.
I asked you earlier, and you didn't want to open
Is it at the Paintsville Rec Center?
Yeah, it's at the Paintsville Rec Center. I get bell time still, 7:30.
Yeah, that place is becoming a mecca for local wrestling.
Producer Kevin's coming in hot with all these links. I love it.
Yeah, they
Producer
I mean,
Kevin's always on point.
From what I can tell, you know, I've talked to some people that wrestle for BCW. They've got some stuff in store for that show that's coming up for them. So hopefully we're going to be able to reschedule to get Kobe and his AJ on here.
Yep, Kobe and AJ are supposed to
You know, maybe we'll be able to get some information from them. I don't know, but hopefully we can get them rescheduled before then.
Yeah,
I know as far as that Enforcer show for ASW, that's Gary Dameron's promotion over in Madison, West Virginia. We're hoping to get I think we got it kind of set up for – to have a guest maybe that's going to be on that show. I don't want to announce a name right now.
What is it?
No. I have a guest on our show that's going to be wrestling at that Enforcer show.
Yeah.
And I know I'm in talks with somebody right now about getting them on the show. It's not a definite thing, so I don't want to throw out a name out there. But hopefully, I know Arn's going to be over. I guess that's why they're, it's called the Enforcer.
Wow.
Arn's going to be there. ODB's going to be at that show.
ODB.
So.
Oh, he's got some superstars lined up.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's always
superstars.
Got some, pretty good talent.
Well, we were just talking about Stan Hansen's going to be over there. Crime Time's going to be over at the one after that one. That's not.
That's
there's
true.
Another show after that. It's their Hall of
Fame Hall of
show.
Fame show.
Yeah,
which is another.
Stan Hansen is legit. I mean, in my opinion, they come no tougher than Stan Hansen. Some of his matches were, hard to watch.
Well, yeah, you hear
he's legit. Just
you always
hurting,
hear Jim Cornette talk about him.
Real
and,
deal.
And how hard his matches was.
Real stiff.
Yes.
Super stiff worker.
And his favorite thing is he's always like, I'd like to put him in a match with Stan Hansen.
Yeah. Stan invented stiff.
Yeah.
I mean, that was...
Strong style, I guess.
Yeah. He'd knock an eyes out.
Since we're in the segment right now, Jason Adams asked if AEW was going to make a video game. I'm hoping. I don't have a game console, but I might buy one if an AEW game comes out.
We can hope.
As long as it's a good game, I hope.
Kenny's a gamer.
Yeah.
Kenny's a gamer. I've read a lot of articles and videos of Kenny talking about them making a game.
Yeah.
Based kind of like the THQ version, No Mercy.
That's sold right there. You got
that's
me sold.
Perfect.
I just hope they don't go that
2K way.
Well, God, no. But also the... Japan game that we were talking
Fire
about.
Fire Pro Wrestling.
Fire Pro, yeah. No. I mean, it seems like a...
That's theirs. That's a glitch.
I just hope they don't go with, that kind of graphics or any of that style. I would never
imagine that.
No, but if they do the THQ, like those cool No Mercy
the
games.
Best
or wrestling
game
those are the best.
Yeah,
I mean,
WrestleMania
best.
2000. If they do that, then with a better graphics,
Well, they're still people playing that today.
THQ? They made
people modding that all over the
64
world.
Games too, didn't they?
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's theirs. It's, yeah.
Well, I mean, like they did the WCW versus NWO Revenge, didn't they? THQ.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
That was the predecessor to what they ended up with.
Yeah,
it was.
Same, it was the beginning, wasn't it?
Because it didn't have the same controls.
No,
but you know, like they had a WCW versus the World.
Yeah,
the Revenge, No Mercy, WrestleMania 2000.
WrestleMania 2000, I think, was the last one for 64.
Nah, No Mercy
was
2000. Come out first. Oh, then so No Mercy come out a year later. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I didn't know which one was first. I used to use an emulator all the time. Mod was good.
Well, that's the best thing about the No Mercy was not the emulator itself, but just the creative mode.
Oh, yeah.
Like, was so good for its time, too.
If you
want to
see something that you wouldn't believe, go to YouTube and look at the mods for that.
Yeah.
It's a totally different game based on that engine, and they might have 300 or 400 characters on it.
Yeah.
You know, newer characters. Oh, I can...
Well, now that we're talking about wrestling games, I mean, what was your favorite wrestling game? Outside of No Mercy.
Because we all know,
No Mercy is like number one.
Here Comes the Pain.
Here Comes the Pain.
Yep. SmackDown versus Raw. Yeah. All those games I thought were good, you know.
All the SmackDown versus Raw were good. Especially 07 was probably one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
It had a really good career mode, story mode. That's what really sold me on wrestling games. I needed like a good story mode.
That was the one you could go back in the back and you choose your own path. I mean, you could go up, talk to somebody, and hit somebody, and start a feud, or you could be on their side, you know?
Yeah, they've done a few like that.
That made it worth playing. Like, you could do, like, you could play it one way, and then go back and play it another way, and be totally different, you know? That just...
Yeah.
I know I was always blown away with the Here Comes the Pain, because there's a spot in it to where you're actually wrestling in Kentucky. And, you know, in the Kentucky State Police arrest you as part of the storyline. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's, that's cool.
Yeah. So I want to get back to what we originally started the Pillar to Post with. I want to know, just like, there has to be some other matches out there, and I want people to comment too. If you know any matches out there that were just silly, let us know.
Silly?
Yeah, just
as in what?
Just bad concept matches, Punjabi prison match, or the.
What about the loser eats dog food?
Oh yeah, that's your most recent.
Oh man, I thought I was hoping we'd had to bring on back past up. This. Yeah. I know.
I feel like WCW but had a lot of them.
Kenny wrestling back in the day. A inflatable doll. Kenny wrestling a little girl.
Kenny wrestling a 9-year-old girl.
Yeah.
House of Horror match with Orton and Bray. I liked that match, Teddy. Mm. That wasn't too bad.
It had, you know, it had its moments, and you know, I liked the best part was that, you know, I don't want to say the best part was the end, but the best part was the end for me when Orton burnt down the Wyatt compound. Yeah. You know, at the end, you know, that just built up the storyline even more.
Yeah.
You know, when he burned it down. I'm not saying it in a bad way. I just like the way it ended, you know, with him doing the – with the house burning in the background. You know, that was – you
what
know, that
the
was
Inferno
good.
What about matches?
I never thought, minded them.
Did you really?
Did you not like them?
No, I wasn't really a fan of that.
I mean, like I said, certain matches have to have certain people in them to make sense.
Yeah.
As long as
the buried alive matches.
Yeah, same way.
Those, like, the first Inferno match had some sense to it because I guess Kane was in it. And, you know, he's afraid of fire, so he didn't want to get nowhere near it.
Yeah.
Kane but, and like, Undertaker, you know, at WrestleMania.
You put other people in them, then it's just it don't really make sense. But yeah.
That was a good WrestleMania, too, because that's the same one that Austin and Shawn Michaels main evented. It's a good one.
Which one was that?
Was that 13? WrestleMania 13?
I don't know. I'll just
it's the one where Austin gets his world title.
Okay.
Yeah, first, I think so. First, 13th,
first
yeah.
time.
First
yeah,
time.
That's when Shawn Michaels gives it, you know, well, does the job.
Yeah.
Does the favor, as Vince supposedly says.
Well, I feel like WCW definitely had, like, the most, like, ridiculous matches ever.
The triple cage thing.
The triple cage thing, yeah. We can't forget about
don't
that.
Don't you talk about that.
That was
giving David Arquette a world title.
Yeah, they give David Arquette the world. But then you had like it seemed like they had a lot of post matches too. Always something on a post.
Yeah, they done all kind of stuff. It was just unbelievable.
But, you know, I guess TNA done those too though. But they had the Feast or Fired, which was a different turn on it, which I kind of like. I mean, I'm not saying it was a bad thing, but like you had different things. Like one, you were fired. Yeah. One, you got a tag match or a tag title match. One, you got an X Division match. So I mean, it kind of gave a good concept to it, but like.
I didn't like the fact that they had a briefcase.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could have put them in anything besides a briefcase. Yeah. WWE kind of done, they got the briefcase.
Teddy went. That's theirs. Come in with the Austin versus Michaels was 14.
Was 14.
Okay.
Oh, Teddy coming in clutch. Like that. Yeah. He always comes in clutch.
You can't beat Teddy in a Google.
Teddy in a Google.
It is what it is.
King of Google, Teddy.
I was in a general direction.
Yeah. You were close.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to talk about since we brought up TNA is they had a tournament, like little thing they used to do. I forget what it was called, but.
King of the Mountain?
It might have been King of the Mountain, maybe. It was like a point system.
Which one was you started on the outside? It was like a reverse battle royal they had. You started on the outside and had to fight your way into the ring.
I don't remember this one.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I can't think. No.
Was that in TNA?
Yeah.
I might have to go look at that one because I don't remember that one. I just remember the tournament. It was almost, I guess it might have been King of the Mountain, but it was like a point-based tournament, you know.
You ever heard of a Bunkhouse Stampede match?
No.
Yeah, that was a strange one, too. That's an old NWA, you come as you are match. You can bring whatever you want to the ring.
Okay, yeah, I remember you talking about that.
It's like a battle royal, yeah. And the last one is inside a steel cage.
Yeah.
That's...
What do you mean the last one? Or like
they had so many of them like during the year.
Yeah.
And then the winners of all of them made up and won at the end.
Oh, okay. So,
and it was in a cage, which I don't understand why, because now you throw them over the cage or you beat them through the door. Just
really?
Yeah, it was convoluted. It was yeah.
I'll have to watch that because
NWA, they've done – well, you know, then you get the War Games. You know, the original War Games was great.
Yeah. I guess WCW done a War Games, but I mean they weren't much.
That was
Now Takeover,
now the NXT War Games,
they've had some pretty good,
pretty
good War Games.
Yeah, they brought it back.
It was Fight for the Right tournament with the first round as the reverse battle royal.
Okay,
I don't even know. I don't remember seeing that. Yeah. I'm gonna go back and watch it.
Full of useless knowledge.
You are full of useless knowledge. I got off topic there. I was going to say something.
There's a lot of bad matches if you really sit and think about it. But a scaffold match. Remember a scaffold match?
Yeah, I remember that
20 foot an hour.
Yeah. Scaffold match. Well, then what? WWE's notorious for putting somebody in a cage.
Shark cage matches?
Shark cage match.
Cages suspended.
Yeah. Or the one where WCW had it and Sting in it, and then RoboCop comes down and rips the door off.
Oh, that's what I was going to talk about.
What was RoboCop doing there?
I seen the video of...
Why would RoboCop get involved with the Four Horsemen, man?
You remember the Mummy?
WCW? Yeah, and the Yeti.
The Yeti. Which was Reese.
Yeti.
He comes out, man.
And just hugs him and starts going... Oh,
I've seen that earlier. Somebody posted it.
Yeah, it was great. I watched it earlier, too.
And so... Yeah, he was just sitting there hugging him for a good solid 5 minutes.
And the announcer was like, oh my God, it's the Yeti.
Well, we watched one other day, too, though, the Shockmaster.
Oh God. Shockmaster.
Hey, he's a legend.
I mean, dude, you'll never forget it.
Never forget it.
But it was awful.
What were they thinking?
Do you remember the Black Scorpion? When Sting run out of opponents and then a masked guy starts like coming down and messing with him?
No.
Yeah.
What was that about?
It's just a guy who's supposed to be in somebody, and it's supposed to be in somebody else, and it ends up at Starrcade, and it's Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember when Ric Flair unmasked himself. Yep. I've seen those clips before.
Yeah.
I just didn't know he was called the Black Scorpion.
That's when they give Sting a title and don't know what to do with him.
Yeah. They do a lot of, they have done a lot of, putting people in masks. I remember in WCW, that was a big thing to do, hide somebody for 2 months and then reveal them all of a sudden.
Well, it was all in NWA. You would do a loser leave town match, and then the next week the same guy would come back with a mask on, and he'd be like, "Oh, I know that's you." And, "No, it's not me. It's somebody else."
Yeah. Well, did that same storyline in Hogan's, I guess,
Mr. America.
Mr. America with Vince. He goes, "I know that's you, Hogan." No.
No, brother. Said, no, it's not me, brother.
Talking like him and everything.
It's great.
Same move set and everything.
Yeah, I love that. That's so
mustache,
corny.
Handlebar mustache hanging out. You
I
know,
did like
it's
that.
Just,
when I did too. I was pretty younger when that came on.
I'd like
can't
it now.
Forget about it.
I would like it now. Just,
it's not me, brother.
You don't know. It's not me, brother.
Maybe do the lie detector test.
It's so good. Yeah. That's just so corny enough to be good in my book.
Then I guess wouldn't or Yeah, Big Papa Pump. They put him in a mask once in WCW. I remember that.
Yeah, like you wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, walking around.
I know like him veins anyways.
Walking around like
so they changed him up with those tattoos now. You definitely notice him now.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't.
Well, he don't look the same no more, does
no.
he?
No, he's on
he
the downward spiral.
NWA Power, and he looked.
Yeah. Did you watch Power this week, anybody?
They didn't have a Power this
week. Okay, I'm not
they debuted a new show.
Really?
Yep, it was called Circle Squared. Have you heard anything about Circle Squared?
Okay, Gregory, you're correct. When Stephanie McMahon was crucified on the cross,
yep.
That was pretty ridiculous.
Oh,
the
Undertaker. Yeah.
Undertaker back in the ministry days.
Is that when he was trying to marry Steph?
I think. It was during the ministry days.
Yeah.
Then it came out, you know, McMahon was the one leading them the whole time, so he was sacrificing his own daughter at the end, you know, when you're thinking about it. But at that time, Undertaker was doing that to... Well, that's carrying the story on like he was...
And that's when Vince was telling everybody that, you know, the Undertaker was too deep in his gimmick.
Yeah.
He was believing his own gimmick.
Believing his
own gimmick. He was like, Mark, you've got to snap out of it. You're not the real Undertaker. You're just a guy pretending to be.
Was he?
Yeah. That's when Vince breaks the fourth wall.
That was during my time that I was still watching WCW, and I didn't really watch a whole lot of WWF.
But that was a cool little, you know, twist, because they were coming out and be like, you know, he's just too deep in his gimmick. He believes he's the real Undertaker. You know,
that's interesting. It's
cool.
I mean, it gave you, like, during that whole time, it gave you a real cult feeling.
Well,
that whole ministry. I mean, they all acted, you know, that's...
That's where you got, you know, it was the Brood.
The Brood, yeah.
Well, you got Edge out of that deal.
Yep, you got Edge.
Well, you had the Brood before that. The Brood was going against the ministry at first.
Yeah.
Because I seen, I actually watched a tag match the other day. It was the Brood versus Viscera and Minion.
Viscera.
So... Good. You know, you had that, but then later on they added the Brood in to the ministry, but it kept expanding. You had the Acolytes came out of that, you know, which ended up being a better tag team when they created their own protection agency. I thought was better than when they were with.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was there was a lot of stuff came out of that.
Hey, Bradshaw
which Median
came
was,
out good, too, didn't he?
Median was
JBL went through a lot of changes.
Yeah, but Median was a tag champion before. What was his tag? Him and his brother, well, they were labeled as brothers. They were a tag team. They dressed in overalls and... Like
the big, Godwins?
That might have been what they were. And then
that's the Godwins.
Yep. And then
then you had Brood too with the Hardy Boys.
That was Vince's take on Appalachia.
Yep.
The Godwins, a bunch of hillbillies.
Yep. But then Median, you know, branched off and, you know, became what he is in the ministry at the time, drawing the eyeball in the middle of his forehead.
Yeah. I thought the Brood was awesome. That's probably one of my that was really like Gangrel was just there pretty much to amp up these young talent.
Well,
kind of took him under his wing. That's all he was there for.
That's another guy who was leaving his gimmick too.
Gangrel.
He's got the
the actual implant teeth and everything.
I think he's got them out now.
Did he?
I think so. I don't think he has them anymore.
He went there, didn't he?
But he did. He had the
living.
I mean, you got another one that's living. Oh well, I don't know if he's living it, but the Boogeyman. That dude's always like everything I see on him is eating worms here and there,
you
making
think he's
somebody
eating worms at the house.
He might be good source of protein. I don't know. But
he might be hiding in the bathroom right
we
now.
We could ask Gary.
Pays the bills
about it.
So I mean,
that's it. How many worms you got to eat to keep the electric on?
I seen the thing with Gangrel though. It was like a little interview with him. And he was talking about Michael P. Hayes would just throw tag teams with him. They'd basically be not really in the doghouse, but he would just like take care of these young boys, you know, show them the ropes.
Well, Michael P. Hayes apparently got the Hardys over,
That's how the Hardys and Edge and Christian really got started.
I say Michael P. Hayes is a wild guy.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like a wild cat to me.
We're talking about that flight. You know, you always hear about the flight.
Yeah.
A bunch of them were on it. I think. No, it was Ric Flair was the one rocking around
naked,
and then Michael P. Hayes, I think, cut somebody's hair, somebody cut his hair one. I don't know, but if you can go back and watch it on YouTube. There's multiple stories about the flight.
Got people fired and everything after that. I think they even tried to get Ric Flair on, like, the flight attendants pressed charges or something. It is what it is, isn't it?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to discuss, you know, about some old school stuff or just today's times? I did read, you know, we're going to have to bring this up. I almost forgot about it. It was the reports of Dave Meltzer talking about the switch up for Mania. You know, they talked about switching up the John Cena and Elias match, which
I hope
everybody wanted anyways. And we hope it's Velveteen Dream.
Yes.
Well, like Dave Meltzer always says, plans change.
Yep. But according to Dave Meltzer, the other match changing is Roman Reigns versus The Fiend. So
I hope not.
Is Goldberg going to beat The Fiend?
If that happens, I'm really am done. I mean, how do you build a character up like The Fiend for so long and then let somebody that comes around once every 3 years beat him?
I mean, if that happens, they need to just take the company from Vince on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
So you are no longer in charge of this. I mean, I know they can't do that, and I'm just saying that...
But it's just...
No, I don't think nobody's that dumb. No.
In true honesty, I think they might... There could be a Goldberg and Reigns match. There don't have to be a belt involved for that match.
Yeah.
That match could still happen without a belt, and they'll... Got somebody else going to face The Fiend.
Maybe they're smart. Exactly. Maybe they're smart enough to not bait it all on Roman again.
Yep, exactly.
You know,
because of the backlash you get. I mean,
give it to
Aleister
Black. Force
feed Roman.
Black versus The Fiend.
Oh, Black versus The Fiend. Yes. What kind? That could be a great feud.
This it booked itself.
Yeah.
That books itself.
Two dark characters.
Exactly. Because you're not going to scare Black. It's it's not his style.
Not his style. So. And he's got his finisher. It's a great finisher to go against The Fiend,
And Roman's just not, his character is not developed enough to be in there with The Fiend.
Mikey said they're saying Reigns and The Rock, which.
Actually, I seen that. That is, Roman Reigns came out and stated that, but that's for next year's Mania in L.A. That Reigns wanted to face The Rock next year. At that SoFi Stadium, I know they just announced that Roman wanted to wrestle his cousin, I guess.
I mean, Rock, in my opinion, Rock make anything look good.
Yeah.
He might. Oh, yeah. Who knows?
But could you do that as a – are you going to wait a whole year to turn Roman heel then, though? What if he – people – I mean, he gets booed no matter what
In my mind, he's a heel anyway.
One match I hope they don't change, if Meltzer's right, is like – none of the women's matches that are being advertised. Well, two of them. I don't know about the SmackDown one, who's going to be in that one, but I like the Baszler versus Becky.
They're not going to change those matches.
Biting Baszler's off.
Yeah, but the
she's a biter.
The Drew McIntyre Lesnar match is the one that's got my eye. I'm just hoping that they finally
could be a good card.
Yeah, I'm hoping
Edge and Randy. That's sold. They're not changing.
Yeah, Edge and Randy. That's going to be good.
This could be
Undertaker and AJ. Looks
which makes more sense now. Though the more they go with it now, I was kind of a little against it at first, but now they're putting these promo posters out. I know a lot of them's fan made, but Phenom versus the Phenomenal. I mean, it's
just throw Shawn Michaels in there and make it a triple threat, a Mr. Mania match.
God, that would be awesome.
That'd be too smart.
Book it.
Well, the more I get to thinking about, as good as AJ is, he would work so well with Undertaker just because he's so athletic himself. He can make a lot of Undertaker's moves look strong.
Yeah.
So he's small. He's a smaller guy, so Undertaker wouldn't have no problem lifting him up and doing things with him. So.
And the story would be Undertaker needs to slow him down.
Yeah.
And that would give Undertaker a chance to work some rest holds and, work to his strengths to counteract him. Yeah. It'd be good.
Yeah, I was kind of against that match at first because I was hoping to see – even though it wouldn't be a very good match, Sting versus Taker, that's just something I've been looking forward to for 20-some years now. Yeah. But do we get a Sting appearance at Mania now? I mean, is that a –
who knows?
I was never really a Stinger. I was never a little Stinger. It's not my style. I was always cheering for – I was a horseman.
Over here the Sting magazine is.
I mean, it's just is what it is. I just –
I thought I had it in front of you, and I was going
to
take it away.
I would like to see Sting at Mania, but...
I should just roll it up and smack him with it.
Roll the Sting magazine.
I'm not going to be disappointed if Sting don't show, are you?
No, to be honest, I'm not.
Taker
versus Black, that wouldn't be a bad match. But a lot of Black's moves are stiff moves. Kicks, so yeah, it could work too. But AJ and Taker just seems like a gold match for me right now. It's really... I'm really drawn into it. So
imagine Black and AJ.
Oh yeah,
I imagine
anybody with AJ.
Yeah, a pure match would be better. I'd love to see Sean in there.
Sean and AJ would be.
Well, I like that. That promo he cut on Raw was kind of like took shots at both. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you're kind of leaving it out there which way you want to go with it. So I think they might try to AJ's promo from Raw, he kind of made like he's the new Mr. WrestleMania. Well, that's a shot at Michaels. But then he said some other stuff that would be a shot at The Undertaker. So, I mean, you've got like some leeway there if they want to go one way or the other.
And Shawn's
until
there.
One of them shows up on Raw and comes out there and confronts him, you really don't know where they're going to go with this.
Shawn's there, too.
To be honest, I missed with the that company. Promo. So
he's with the
so
company.
So he had a promo Monday?
Yeah. Huh. And it was either this – I'm pretty yeah, it was this Monday.
Was he live or just on –
No, it was on TV. He had the OC out there with him talking about he was back.
So
he wasn't
back?
Going nowhere. Yeah, he was back on Raw. Oh. Right. Yeah, he was like, I'm back. Well, you know, yeah. I'm the new Mr. WrestleMania. I am WrestleMania.
And
you know,
after that Saudi Arabia match, Shawn's got something to prove.
No.
I mean, that did not, to me, I don't think that was a good match.
He's got a match. He's got a match in him.
Oh, you know
sure.
he does.
You know he does. Yeah. They all got one more in them.
Yeah, look at Hogan.
He's had five more in him.
Yeah. The one more he had against Michaels was a good match. The great oversell.
The great oversell. That was insane.
I enjoyed it.
Did you really enjoy
made
it?
Made me smile.
Really? Like, did it make you smile just because of sheer fact you knew what was going on? Or was it just a good match? Or you just like the nostalgia of it?
The nostalgia.
Not the over. Because when you watched it, did you know the oversell
yeah,
was going
on? Yeah,
I
knew something was going on.
You could tell. I mean, yeah. Obviously. You can,
I thought he was, you know, at the time I was like,
when he kicked
oh,
him in
yeah.
the gut on the rope and he's just bouncing 10
yeah.
foot up in the air.
He drops the leg and he starts flopping. You can even see the look on Hogan's face. You know, he wasn't with it.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Still, like you said, nostalgia in those matches. Just
the fact that Michaels got over him when he couldn't, you know, he couldn't pin him. It wasn't going to work, but he still got over.
That's great. Man, how arrogant is Hogan? That's wild.
That's a subject for another day.
Yeah. Just like we were talking about, Stone Cold was the same way. You know, look at him when he walked out on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if you haven't watched, and if you guys got the network, they got the Ruthless Aggression series on there, and it's a pretty fun little series
yeah, it was,
to watch.
I watched both episodes so far, and it's, you know, gives you a good background, you know, that you see a lot of stuff that happened in the background you didn't know about, like
that's where I was learning or kind of remembered the
fact that Cena was about to get fired. He was already notified that he was getting his release around December around Christmas cuts that year, and then
it was Halloween.
One little thing changed it for him, but I ain't gonna spoil anything, but you need to go.
Yeah, you need to go.
You
watch
need to go
that.
Watch it.
That's a good.
He
little.
Pulled himself together. Didn't
yeah.
It?
Well, guys, it's coming up on an hour. Another show in the books. I want to do one topic though. I want to bring up real quick is we're starting a new thing. It's called the Triple Threat Throwdown, and the three of us are individually going to throw a topic out there or a match promo. It could be anything, and we want you guys to go watch it during the week. Just sometime. We'll try not to do anything crazy. It'll only be like 15 minutes, 20 minutes at the most.
Yeah.
Every now and then you might get a match that's 40 minutes or something. But we want you guys to go watch it. And then next week during the Pillar Post, we'll discuss it. So I'm going to go ahead and let Jason tell you what he wants you to watch.
I'm going to go a little old school on the first one. Go check out a Magnum TA versus Tully Blanchard I Quit match, Steel Cage. It's on YouTube. Just an old school.
So it's Magnum TA and Tully Blanchard.
Versus Tully Blanchard.
Steel Cage match.
I quit match.
Okay. What about you, Jason?
The one I watched it last night and I've talked about it a lot. It's from Turning Point 2004. It's the America's Most Wanted versus Triple X, which it's two members of Triple X, which is Christopher Daniels at the time and Elix Skipper. It's a steel cage match. I mean, it's worth the watch. Everything you'll see on YouTube, everybody commenting on it says it's probably the most iconic, one of the most iconic moments in TNA history. But it's well worth the watch. It is. It's also on YouTube.
Yeah.
And but I mean, check it out. You won't be disappointed.
Check it out.
And the one I'm going to get you guys to go watch is Nakamura versus AJ Styles, not the WWE match. Go over and watch the New Japan match. It is on YouTube. Stop there, AJ Styles versus Nakamura, New Japan or something like that on there, and it will pop up. It is a little lengthy match. I think it's like 40-some minutes, but it's well worth it, man. You will be entertained. Some of you's probably already watched it, but the ones who haven't, go watch that match because, I mean, it just, like, WWE does no justice, those two.
that New Japan did. Like, their match over there, God.
It's hard to beat New Japan.
Yeah, we saw something the other day I got a kick out of. Missing, if seen, please return to New Japan. It was Nakamura. He needs to go back.
Yeah. I seen a thing where they made him change, or Vince made him change his music so the fans would start singing along, or stop singing along. How crazy is that? Vince just all the control in the world.
Some of them's not allowed to get over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dare some of them to have fans.
Dare
them. Best not.
That's wild. Well, I'm going to go ahead and thank our sponsors again, McGuire Insurance Agency. Just give those guys a call at 606-886-008. Also, Blue Ridge Carpentry, owned and operated by Sean Newsom. Give him a call at 606-230-9566 for a free estimate.
Got anything you want to say, Jason?
I just want to thank our other two sponsors, High Tech Signs and Graphics and Pig and a Poke. And I also want to thank producer Kevin, as always. Yep. You know, without him, you know, this thing don't roll. So, other than that, I'd like to thank everybody that tuned in this week. Hopefully, we keep you all entertained for an hour or so. Hopefully, next week we bring you a better show. If you, you know, we just like topics. If you think of something during the week you want us to discuss, shoot us a message. Or comment, or that's just post on our page. I mean, we're always looking for ideas. So
I want the people watching. Yeah. I want them to tell us what they want us to talk about. That's what I mean. That's what we need. I want them to tell us what they want us to talk about. Yeah. That way, when they tune in, they're going to be interested in it as well and invested in it. So, and besides that, I just wanted. Did you discuss the t-shirts?
Make sure I'll mention the t-shirts one more time. We got them hanging on the front of the table. They're $15. Like I said, all proceeds go back into this podcast, expanding it in any way we can. We also, like Dougie already mentioned, we like to thank our sponsors as well. They've helped us grow. As you can tell, we've been able to get a few other things that we didn't have before. But we're just hoping to keep building this thing. So if you're all interested, shoot us a message on Facebook, any of us. We are getting a PayPal account set up. I am going to do that this week. If somebody lives out of state and would like a shirt,
that'd be good for
Gary. So we can, you know, get it paid. We'll send it. There might be like maybe a dollar or two extra for the shipping costs, but other than that, nothing major. I'm not going to try to run nobody out of getting one of our sweet looking shirts.
Yeah. Too sweet.
So
we also talked about, you know, this is another thing. You know, if we can get some more sponsorships coming in, we'd like to get wristbands.
Yeah,
that's another thing that me and Jason discussed this week. So if anybody just wants to come out and sponsor us, like I said, we got the flyers. So just contact any three of us, and we'll send you the flyer, and we'll discuss what you want to do. So you got anything you want to say, Jason?
No. Thank everybody for watching.
I'm going to call it, guys. You've been booked.
You've been listening to the Strong Booking Podcast. Your hosts are Jason Hughes, Jason White, and Dustin Ducky Campbell. Your producer is Kevin Horn. This has been a production of Hat Media Services.